you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever.
There are former Trump fans all over the internet who are burning their Make America Great hats, which is very scary because it means they've discovered fire.
It has to do with the fact that in the Soviet Union, if you want to buy an automobile, there is a 10-year wait.
We have constructed a governmental welfare scheme, which has been a machine for producing poor people.
I asked you about Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election.
I think that all government is a waste of taxpayer money.
Hello, and welcome to the Daily Circus Podcast. This is Zed, and I am joined by Narcissist Supreme, Red.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Narcissist Supreme Red, and I want everyone to worship me. Worship me. Worship me.
I think that's a pretty good impression of a narcissist, Red.
So, I mean, I wasn't going for Trump, but if you think that's how I sound.
Well, today on the podcast, we have a very special guest, author Bill Eddy. We're going to get into an interview with him here in just a minute. I thought this went really well. Now, it's a little longer than our episodes have been here recently. It's about an hour. But I would definitely encourage you to stick around and listen all the way to the end, because I thought there were a lot of good points this guy made. And I honestly, I didn't feel like he was approaching this from a political side standpoint.
No, this guy just hates Trump is what his deal is. No,
that's not true.
No, I'm just kidding. He's joking. I'm just kidding. No, I was worried about that when we first got the call about him. I did some research and I was like, oh, this is just some guy trying to make his bones off of hating Trump like everybody else. But I did not feel that way by the end of the interview. I feel like he was actually a rational actor and was not suffering from TDS.
Yeah, I thought so as well. So, again, we really enjoyed this and we hope you do too. Tweet at us, let us know what you think, and go buy his book. I feel like this is somebody that we should be supporting in this age of warring at each other constantly. I think he sends a pretty good message. So, hope you enjoy the interview. Joining us now on the podcast is Bill Eddy, who has worked as a therapist doing child and family counseling. He's also a lawyer and co-founder and training director of the High Conflict Institute. We're going to be talking to him today about his book, Why We Elect Narcissists and Sociopaths and How We Can Stop. Bill, welcome to the show. Why don't you give the audience just a brief background of your history and where they can find some of your works?
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on. So basically, the last 15, 20 years, I've been working on this combination of mental health and legal problems, and dealt with divorce cases, high conflict divorce cases, workplace disputes, high conflict workplace disputes, neighbor disputes, high conflict neighbor disputes, and kind of learned a lot of patterns of behavior to watch out for. And that got me into writing about this. So I've written several books on how to deal with high conflict people and how to resolve disputes with them, and to some extent, how to avoid them. And since I've been doing that, it kind of led me into this new book to do this on a larger scale, because we're seeing high conflict people on a larger scale. So that's kind of a nutshell of 20 years.
So is this your first time sort of breaking into the politics side of this?
Definitely. And I feel like I really want people to know this isn't really about politics. It's about politician personalities, and that high conflict politicians can be on the left or on the right. They can be conservatives, liberals, Democrats, Republicans, libertarians. They could be in any occupation, etc. So it's really about the personalities, but it's in the field of politics, so I'm happy to talk about anything.
Sure. So what is it about the current state of politics in the U.S. that kind of inspired you to veer off into this path?
Well, what I see happening is the high conflict people, and I call them HCPs for short. And by the way, don't tell somebody you think they're an HCP in your daily life. That will make things worse for you.
I imagine that goes over well.
Yes, exactly. Hey, honey, I figured out you're an HCP. Doesn't go well. But what's happening is we're seeing them now running for office and getting elected. And this is at all levels of society. I've consulted with homeowners associations, city councils. We see them getting into school boards, mayors, governors, legislators, and of course, presidents and heads of countries. So this pattern, people don't know about this pattern. So I really feel like I spent the last 25 years really educating people about high conflict personalities, and mostly in the legal arena. And I've been really pleased to see people learn from that and go, oh, I know what I shouldn't do and what I should do now. And so the high conflict people get stopped a little earlier in the legal field nowadays. But now they're in the political field. People don't know what to watch out for. And so they're not really quite yet learning the warning signs and how to rein them in and how to avoid electing them. So that's one piece of it. The other piece is modern electronic media has the ability to repeat emotional messages at such a level of intensity, at such a speed, things go viral worldwide, all of that. And they grab your emotional brain in a way that most political discussions, newspapers, magazine articles, et cetera, don't grab you because they give you time to think. Which is a good thing about podcasts, too. You have time to think. So it's this combination of modern fast media that's emotional focused and high conflict people who generally are emotionally focused. It's this combination coming together, and that's why I think they're getting elected. And it's worldwide. It's nothing unique about the United States or any other country. It's really unique about modern media and high conflict people.
So we're going to be talking about specifically, too, in your book title, you reference narcissists and sociopaths. So before we get into discussing the different types of HCPs and, you know, I wanted to just kind of draw out for the audience. Can you spell out what is a narcissist? What is a sociopath? Are there differences between the two?
Yeah. So basically, these are two of the personality types that have been identified as problematic. Mental health professionals diagnose personality disorders when there's certain criteria met. But I'm not going to diagnose anybody because I haven't met the public figures. And since I'm a therapist, I'm not supposed to diagnose people I haven't met. But I can tell you that there's some traits that people have, and whether they have a disorder or not, traits aren't a disorder. So I'll talk about traits. So narcissists, four of the traits that seem to get them desiring to be leaders are this drive to be superior. And most people know a narcissist, and they want to be seen as superior, but they don't want to be in charge of the world. The ones that want to be in charge of the world just keep trying to show they're more superior to everybody else and climb the ladder. They're kind of driven to climb the ladder of society. They have grandiose ideas. You know, I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you. I'll do all these wonderful things. And they're very charming. And so people follow those ideas. They have fantasies of unlimited power, and they have a lack of empathy. So they're willing to hurt people on the way to becoming the superior person, the unlimited power, grandiose person they want to be. They don't intend to hurt people, but they don't really care that much if people are hurt along the way. So that's narcissistic traits. Now, sociopathic traits, the key ones to think about, is they have a drive to dominate people. They don't want to just be on the top. They want to boss people around, move people around, separate people, show that they can really dominate people. They're very deceitful. They lie constantly. They're conning. They may pretend they're somebody else. And a lot of times the people that you get that are, you know, identity theft and intense, you know, robocalls and spam that are scams, really, it's probably the sociopaths behind that. They're highly aggressive. So they're risk-taking. They'll push. They'll do things. They get there first. And then there's a lack of remorse. Not only, you know, do they lack empathy, they lack remorse. If they hurt you, they really don't care. Narcissists feel bad if they hurt you sometimes, but sociopaths may actually enjoy hurting you. So these are the differences, but there's a lot of similarities. They both want to be on top, and they both don't really care about you, but they'll say whatever they need to seduce you into getting you to follow them.
Great. That's a really helpful explanation. And then I noticed that you refrain from wanting to diagnose. There has been this in the media recently. I think that I've seen several articles where we'll just take Trump, for example. There have been several people that have diagnosed him with a disorder of one type or another. And obviously, they have not evaluated him. Do you think this is helpful or hurtful, or should these psychologists or doctors be doing this?
It doesn't bother me, because I think it's interesting that mental health professionals, psychologists, psychiatrists aren't supposed to talk about the areas that they're experts on. And so if there was a heart doctor saying, wait a minute, he's going to have a heart attack in the next 6 months. Somebody needs to do something about this. People would listen. But if it's mental health and you say, in 6 months, this person's going to start a war, people say, oh, you know, you're not allowed to talk about, you know, personality dynamics. And so I think it's probably too bad that people can't talk about that. I understand that they don't want that becoming a part of routine elections. But I think when you have an extreme situation, that it may be helpful for people to understand these patterns. And that's why I talk about them as patterns rather than disorders. And I don't give enough pattern to decide whether it's a disorder or not. All I need to know is that they have a high conflict personality, and that makes them destructive and dangerous. We just don't know how destructive and how dangerous.
I think that's probably a good way to look at it. I think probably, I'd never really thought about the way you described that, you know, your heart doctor would be able to say, oh my gosh, you know, this person's going to have a heart attack. But mental health professionals generally are not as inclined to do that. And I think a lot of that probably has to do with the stigma we have on mental health in this country, which is something that, you know, I personally just, I wish we would kind of drop that. You know, I work in the healthcare profession as far as help make software for healthcare. And, you know, there's all kinds of this extra privacy going even above and beyond when it comes to mental health, just to not only keep the PHI safe, but also to go above and beyond that, from even sort of making it known that someone was even in existence in that building. And I wish we could break that stigma somehow.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I've been a mental health professional since, it's almost been 40 years. It's the 1980s that I became a clinical social worker. And I think what we're realizing today is mental health problems aren't a private issue. In many ways, they're a public issue that affects people around someone, and everyone around them affects them. And if we had a little more compassion rather than criticism and judgment, we could say, hey, this person's got a mental health problem and they're in an occupation that they don't belong in. There's another occupation that's better for them, like entertainer or something like that.
Or wrestler or WWE
wrestler.
Star.
Wrestler. Yeah, exactly. So it's easy to be judgmental, and I don't want to teach people to be judgmental. I want to teach people to recognize patterns of behavior and to be careful for the ones that could be dangerous to them.
Yeah. When I was browsing some of your book, I noticed that one thing that struck me was it said that you had discovered that around 40% of the time or 40% of the vote gets sort of absorbed by these HCPs. Can you speak to how you discovered that and why you think that might be?
Yeah. So I didn't plan to find that. I was surprised. And I looked at 11 leaders. And I looked, of course, at Hitler, Stalin, and Mao Zedong, because they were what I call the originals. They actually laid out the patterns that today's high conflict leaders are using. And so, you know, people say you can't compare people, you know, to Hitler or something. And they have some patterns that are helpful to know. So they're not invading Europe and stuff like that, at least at this point in time. But I also looked at leaders around Europe, et cetera, and in the U.S. And so Hitler had 42% of the vote. The Nazis had 42% of the vote in 1932 when Hitler was appointed chancellor. Actually, I shouldn't say when he was appointed. They had another election that they only got 35% of the vote in. Then he was appointed chancellor because he was the head of the largest party. And that's what people need to understand, is you can be the largest party with approximately 40% of the vote, give or take a little bit. Then I noticed, I was reading about in the U.S., that we've had some other authoritarian leaders. So I looked at McCarthy, Joe McCarthy, and it was interesting that after 4 years of televised hearings searching for communists in the federal government, and he didn't find any, but he really ruined a lot of careers, he had about 40% of the country. And he was censured 99-1 by the Senate, and that basically ended his career of being Joe McCarthy in public. And when he was censured, he had approximately 40% support of the U.S. Then I also read there was other leaders. George Wallace in the 1960s had about 40% support. Huey Long, who was an earlier politician in the South, had about 40% support. And I started looking around. And then, of course, you look today in the news and you see Trump has 40% support. And in Europe, because the largest party prevails, for example, I believe it was Poland that the largest party had about 40%. So I haven't done a scientific study, but it seems to me that it keeps coming up that it fits with the theory that 30 to 40% of people are just naturally inclined towards an authoritarian leader. And these leaders appeal to them. And it's not almost a logical process. It's almost just kind of activating maybe even an inborn trait to follow authoritarian leaders. But it's only 40%. The other 60% could easily outvote them if they would get together, but they get divided by guess who? The HCP politician. And you'll see that happening around the world. HCP politicians are constantly talking and they're constantly dividing people. And that's how they win with 40% of support.
So I heard you talk a lot about authoritarian leaders, which is, I think, different than HCPs. So do you see them as similar or sharing characteristics or as basically exactly the same?
I think it's basically the same thing. HCPs want to be in control. And the research and teaching and counseling and legal cases I've had, there's basically five personality types of HCPs. So there's the two I've mentioned, narcissistic and sociopathic. There's also the borderline, the histrionic, and the paranoid. And all of these types are controlling. They want to be in control a lot because they're afraid. They're fearful. They're always anticipating things going badly. And so they're very controlling personalities. So I would say all five of these HCPs are authoritarian, but often it's just in the family or just in the neighborhood or just in the workplace. But this is your workplace bullies or HCPs. Your sexual harassers are HCPs. They want to dominate, manipulate. They are naturally adversarial in how they approach all relationships. So that's basically, it's authoritarian follows from that.
So a lot of the things I think associated with these HCPs are pretty bad, pretty negative. If you're lumping Hitler and Mao in this category, pretty bad things. So I can understand why you'd want to get rid of them, or at least take them out of positions of authority and power. Right. I had a couple examples that I thought seemed like they might be HCPs based on your description. And I wondered if there might be any redeeming value for these people. So I don't know if you are into the Marvel franchise, the Marvel movies, but there's a character.
Yeah, I used to read years ago, read the comic books. So I'm peripherally aware. So I don't remember exactly who's who, but go ahead.
Okay. So there's this one character, Iron Man, wears a big iron suit, flies around, shoots laser beams out of his hands. And he's actually modeled off of, he's played by the actor Robert Downey Jr. And he's modeled on the tech billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk. And in one of these movies that's been out, Iron Man basically is terrified of the future and aliens. And so he attempts to basically take control of his group of super people and build essentially weapons of mass destruction. And the rest of the super people do not agree with him. But it sounds like that's sort of an HCP sort of thing. And I totally see this in the real person of Elon Musk, who is very controlling. There's tons of news about him just going in and being, I don't know, working, what do they say, 80 hours, 120 hours a week to try to get these things off the ground. And by all accounts, he's been very successful. He's built these spaceships that land vertically, and he has these robot cars that at least at some level are starting to drive themselves. And so do you see any value in these people if at least as Elon Musk appears to do, he appears to not be super evil and trying to take over the world?
Right. So the thing is, HCPs, it's not helpful. It's not helpful to them. It's not helpful to the people around them. However, I estimate that about 10% of the population are HCPs. So they're inclined towards blaming others, not taking responsibility, which means they don't learn, at least socially. And so, but there's also a degree of this. And so what you'll see is some leaders, and Elon Musk is a good example. I think Steve Jobs is another good example. There's been others.
Iron Man.
Sure. Yeah. In fact, it's easier. We could diagnose Iron Man because he's not real. but the idea is that these are dysfunctional traits. HCP is dysfunctional traits. So there's two separate things, and I've been really, you know, looking at this and trying to figure this out. And I think personality and intelligence, brilliance, creativity, all of that are separate things. So you have brilliant people who are high conflict personalities and people who are really not very smart with high conflict personalities. And I think that it's two separate things. So I think Elon Musk is somebody who's brilliant and creative and all of that. And I'm not convinced that his personality, that he wouldn't be where he is today if he didn't have a high conflict personality. I've also wondered that about Steve Jobs. Is he was known as a real jerk in Silicon Valley, and a lot of people said he's extreme narcissist and all of that. But he was also brilliant at design. He was brilliant at technology and how to make it fit the user. If he had a different personality, but the same brilliance around design, it's possible that the same result would have come. And so I'm not convinced that the personality makes them succeed. I look at other people. I look at, like Warren Buffett is one of my favorite examples. He's like the least narcissistic person, at least that I can tell. He's shy. He doesn't like to be, you know, in public a lot. He'll be charming and chummy, but he's been highly successful, one of the richest, you know, half dozen people in the world. You've got Bill Gates, who, you know, people would say he's got narcissistic traits, but he's also listens to people. He also, his wife certainly has had a significant influence on him. And that's the other thing, is you can have people with tendencies towards being HCPs, but if the people around them manage them well, like Steve Jobs was managed well, then they might really succeed. And I don't know who's around Elon Musk, but I think that
Gwen Shotwell, actually. They talk about her a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't know the name exactly, but I know he does have a very high-functioning team that is managing him, because there was actually an appearance by Elon Musk on the Joe Rogan podcast several months back, and he partook in some marijuana with Joe Rogan, and he got blasted for it by his team. So,
yeah. But it's a fascinating question. But I want to cast doubt on the idea that they succeed because they have high conflict personalities. I think it's two separate things.
Well, I remain unconvinced. And okay. I'd like to go further back into history, because I would think about somebody like let's just think of some of these people who took over the world. So Napoleon, uh-huh. I would guess that he's probably high conflict,
sure.
Right?
And
he was probably very successful in his endeavor. I don't know that it was a good thing, but it seems to me like some of these people who have both brilliance, and maybe they have a team that is good at managing them, are able to somehow channel this authoritarian psychosis into, I don't know, building something gigantic.
Well, I think you're onto something by looking back in history, because these personalities have been successful in history in a violent adversarial world. And they're successful. They've built empires. They brought together, you know, thousands and millions of people who were in separate groups and probably wouldn't have come together except for the brutality of them. And so in many ways, we may owe them a debt to getting society to the point where we have large groups of people who are more efficient and able to work together. But in today's world, we're not, you know, you don't have to kill the person next to you to survive. And so in many ways...
What if there's illegal immigration and there's no way to stop it?
Well,
he's being facetious there. Sorry.
Don't respond, please.
We have a lot of sarcasm from time to time, so just want to make sure you're keyed in on that.
No, I'm okay. I'm glad you clarified that, because I could go into that if you want, but I won't.
No, he was just joking.
But I think that there's partly is the environment. So let's say 10% of people are high conflict people, and they see all relationships as adversarial. Now, that may have been functional thousands of years ago, when all relationships were adversarial, when you know, it's kill or be killed. But, you know, in peacetime, when things have settled down, you've got to have cooperative skills. And these folks don't have the ability to shift. They pretty much use the same approach with all their relationships. And one thing I've noticed in dealing with high conflict divorces, high conflict workplace disputes, high conflict neighborhood disputes, is these are people without friends. All they know how to do is fight. Now, I should say without real friends. They've got people that look like friends. They've got names that they'll drop, but they're not really happy. And they don't really have friends because they're locked into this adversarial approach. And it doesn't work in modern society where you've got to be able to get along and collaborate to solve modern problems.
So it sounds to me like this might be a part of, as we become more civilized, this kind of Alexander the Great, Napoleon personality traits that we have from the past have maybe they're working negatively now is kind of where you're coming from. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. It's really it's the wrong environment, and maybe we should say the wrong time.
Yeah. So what? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, as we become more and more civilized, we're learning that it works better to not kill each other, that it works better to, you know, have prisons and have people do 3 years in jail or prison for a crime and come out and contribute to society again. That work groups need, you know, there's been a great leveling of work in the last, 30 years, where you don't have a rigid hierarchy and you can use the creativity of everybody in the workplace or in the work group. That's how, Google and Microsoft and Apple and all those folks have really evolved, is much more level, cooperative, respectful, well, maybe not always respectful, brainstorming. And that's the direction we're going in. And the high conflict people want to pull us back in the old direction. It's really a more primitive direction and doesn't work as well.
So based on your research, what do you see happening, or what is the outcome if we don't curb this electing of the HCPs?
Well, the problem with HCPs in positions of power is HCPs are always at war. And they're usually at war with the people around them. But if you give them power, they'll be at war with the people outside their countries as well as the people inside their countries. And in many ways, I've seen this in legal disputes where you have a situation that's actually fairly peaceful and they come in and try to create a fight in order to gain power. And so my fear is we start getting all of these, what I call wannabe kings, in enough countries, they're going to go to war with each other. And that's where we were, 1,000 or more years ago. And it's not stable. You go to war, you fight the war, and somebody wins, and then someone else comes along and beats up the person in the country that won. And you're constantly replacing victory with somebody else's victory. And if you go back in time far enough, that's probably how we evolved. So I think they're trying to take us back to adversarial days. And what's interesting is narcissists, and I should mention, I write a blog for Psychology Today, and I wrote a blog called Walls, Wars, and Parades, and how narcissists lead. And narcissists basically have three drives. Drive to have walls to separate themselves from other people to show how superior they are. Wars, because they like the process of pushing other people down to push themselves up. And parades, because they want constant admiration. And if you look at these world leaders now, and there's probably a dozen of them, they're all on a drive to have walls, wars, and parades. And at some point, we really will have a war, and we don't have to. And that's one thing I wrote in the book. World War II, I didn't realize this, but reading history, I found the historian said nobody wanted World War II except one person, and that was Adolf Hitler. Who would imagine that one person could impact the world to create a war that killed 55 million people? My fear is the same potential exists today if we have high conflict leaders with enough high emotion viral media that will start one And then everybody's kind of stuck being at war. So it's a concern.
Well, I think I'm sold on this. So my co-host, I know, probably isn't as sold on this as I am. But when I'm thinking of politicians, like I'm going to take Duterte, Basiago, Salvini, Trump. You've got the China guy who looks like Winnie the Pooh. I always like to say that because he hates when people say he looks like Winnie the Pooh. I want to lump North Korea in there with Kim Jong-un, but it's North Korea is just, I mean, while he is, it's just sort of the nature of just what North Korea is altogether. You're always going to have a HCP, I feel like, until something changes in that system. But I certainly see it, to me, what it feels like to me is there's this sense suddenly we've got all of these conflicts going on around the world. We've got immigration problems, not just in America, but there's also a lot of immigration happening in Europe and Asia. And I feel like people are uncertain. And to me, that is really fear, I think, is driving this. And I don't know how we stop that or curtail that. Is that a good analysis in your opinion?
Yeah. And I think you're right that fear is what's driving that. But where is the fear coming from? My belief is you could have one HCP in a community that's working and they could create a war. Now, to get there, they have to create fear and they have to create division. And so emotions are contagious. So if you say those people over there are out to get us, then you go, oh, my goodness, I thought they were our neighbors. Oh, well, I better watch out. A good example is Rwanda, where you have the Tutsis and the Hutus. And they got along. And then after about 5 years of hate radio, they went to, you know, one side basically slaughtered the other side. And were they in a crisis? No. It's the division and the repetition and the emotions. And when people are afraid, they're more likely to absorb the emotions of others. And all these high conflict leaders are constantly giving speeches, emotional speeches. They're on the radio, TV, Twitter, Facebook, etc. And that's the stuff that's really dangerous. That's the stuff that lays the groundwork for war. And people don't even realize it. They're paying attention to what's being said, and they're not paying attention to the emotions that are being triggered. And so when the news media says, oh, so-and-so said this today, and 40% of people say, oh, that's great, and 40% say it's terrible, and 20% say I'm trying to ignore it. But everybody hears the emotion in the message and gets emotionally triggered. And that's the escalation that I think we're in the process of right now worldwide.
So I want to ask a question before I do, though. I want to try to come to some agreement between myself and Red, at least. And Bill, you can comment on this, too. So just to give the example here, Donald Trump, Red, would you say it's fair that he, at least say it's fair that he often operates from a position of high conflict?
I think that is, that's okay. That's pretty fair.
Okay.
I think that's hard to dispute. That's pretty much all he does.
All right.
Is raise conflicts. And, but I think that's why people voted for him. That's what they wanted.
Well, yeah. So, and Bill, that I believe you point Trump out as an HCP in the book.
Yeah.
So the question that I have, to me, when dealing with Trump, like I'm talking other politicians dealing with Trump. So when I think I go back to like the debates and I go back to how other politicians are interacting with him, especially on Twitter, which I feel like politicians just shouldn't even interact on. But it's just where we are today. What are some strategies that you think would allow politicians to better handle his outrageousness? Because I feel like most of them, when they try, just flat out fail. They're not doing it well. And if anything else, they almost make it worse on themselves, the way that they're going about it.
Right. So this is an area that I've really worked with and been involved with in legal disputes. So you have one side in a legal dispute that's saying the other side's awful. They're sending, you know, emails and letters and demands, and they're just being very high conflict. And the question is, the other side goes, I don't respond, and then it looks like I agree with the nasty things they're saying, or I respond just like them, and then I look just as bad. And so we developed a method we call BIFF responses, B-I-F-F, brief, informative, friendly, and firm. And this is what I recommend in the book that politicians opposing an HCP need to do. They need to be just as assertive about giving BIFF responses as the high conflict person is aggressive about giving insults and other outrageous statements. So here's what I believe, that emotional repetition is the key. And HCPs talk 10 times as much as all other politicians, and they talk emotionally. Some researchers looked at the 2016 election and looked at that in particular, that it was emotional language rather than, you know, policy language and logical language. Emotional language gets into your brain without having to think about it. So this emotional repetition, if someone wants to run against an HCP, they have to be as present as the HCP is. So if the HCP issues two a day of, you know, tweets or outrageous statements, then the other person running against them has to do at least two a day as well. But not being insulting, disrespectful, aggressive, instead being informative. So something outrageous gets said, and then person responds and says, well, that's an example of all or nothing thinking. This is really what's going on. Let me give you some information, and gives a short statement of information that's real, that's supportable, and then they're done. And then the next outrageous thing comes, and then they respond and say, well, you know, I think that's an example of some extreme behavior. And so this is really what would be appropriate to solve this problem. And here's my approach. And it's just a sentence or two, and then they're done. But they have to match the energy of that. And for 2.5 years, at least in the U.S., no one's done that. Now, my guess is next year that will start happening. But, and that's at the presidential level. The same problem is in Senate campaigns, congressional campaigns, mayoral campaigns. It's really not that special to one person. It's special to HCPs. This is how they operate. And you can deal with them. In legal cases, people I've worked with, and I've trained hundreds, thousands of legal professionals in managing high conflict cases, and you deal with them rationally, but very assertively. And that's how people eventually prevail.
Very good. I think that's good advice. I hope that we see some politicians out there starting to follow that. And just so you know, the way that our podcast kind of operates here, Bill, is we try and do things from sort of both perspectives. One of the largest reason we created this podcast, and we call it the Daily Circus, is when Trump was first elected, we seen extreme rhetoric just on both sides of the aisle, you know, left and right. Yeah. So one thing that we try and do is kind of bring it into the middle. And one thing we want to do is kind of include everyone and say, you know, there's place for conversation, and there's a place for everyone in the conversation. We shouldn't always just go to one side or the other. There are really two sides to the story. And I know that there are some listeners out there right now that are going, Zed is just going on a liberal rant and he's mentioning Trump because I tend to be the more liberal one on the podcast. So Can you give an example? I know you mentioned that, you know, there are all sides of the spectrum, there are these HCPs. So just to calm down that person that's out there screaming into their headset right now, can you give us an example of a liberal HCP?
Sure. So I'll give you two examples. that are Democrats. So in San Diego, where I live, we had a mayor elected a few years ago, and there were signs, warning signs to me that he might be an HCP. And within about 6 months of being in office, he got elected. And in about 6 months, he thought he was a little king, a wannabe king. And so he was touching women inappropriately. This is before Me Too. I think this is 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. And eventually women came forward in the news and said, wait a minute, this guy's harassing us. He's touching us. He's saying inappropriate things. And at the same time, all the committees he's supposed to work with, he was saying, you know, you don't need to meet. I'll just tell you what you need to do. And so he was really offending a lot of people. And within 8 months, he was pushed out of office because he was just trying to be so superior and dominant and in charge of everybody, and he was out of control. Another example would be Eliot Spitzer, governor of New York, Democrat, popular Democrat with voters, at least when he was the attorney general there, I think it was. And anyway, he was also being totally bossy, alienating people left and right. And then he got in trouble for sexual stuff with a prostitute, and he had no support. And so he was pushed out of office pretty quick. So I think of them as two examples. Another example of a really terrible HCP would be Jim Jones and Jonestown. And he was on the far left. So he created a socialist utopia in I think it was Guyana.
Yeah,
it was in Africa. Guyana.
Yeah. It was South America, I believe, wasn't it? Was it Africa?
Now I'm supposed to believe Jim Jones is a bad guy too. Man, this is just a sad podcast.
We're destroying all of Red's
all my heroes. Right
there, you go.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but the idea is he had 900 people in isolation. And he had a high conflict personality, very narcissistic, sociopathic. He lied to people. He created fantasies that weren't true. And he was very much, I have to be in charge. And when the congressman, I think, from San Francisco flew down there to investigate, his paranoia went off the scale. And he basically got the people to drink the Kool-Aid and commit suicide. Now,
he murdered the congressman
and other people with the congressman, I believe. So he was an example of the extreme left, where he had this fantasy and he got people to share it, but he certainly was an extremist. And this personality, one of the biggest things to watch out for is, do people lie a lot? And if they lie a lot, you don't want to give them power, because all these folks lie a lot. And so that's one of the big danger signs. So to me, that's left and right. I also like, let's look at Russia. We had Stalin on the far left, and now we have Putin on the far right. And it was like 10 years in between the two types of regimes. Although Stalin died in 1953, he pretty much dominated the country until 1989, when it started to unravel, or the Soviet Union. So it's not about politics, it's about personality. And I want to add something here that I think is fascinating. That is, pretty much all of these folks don't have any political ideology or policy loyalty. They want power. And many of them have been, you know, on the left for a while, like have shifted parties, been Democrats for years, then became Republicans. Trump, for example, 80% of his contributions were to Democratic candidates. in 2010 when I think he decided to run as a conservative Republican. He didn't know what the issues were. He told people, his people, he said, find out what conservative radio and television are talking about. Oh, they're talking about immigration. Okay, I'm going to be the immigration guy. And if you back up and go, Joe McCarthy is another good example of that. Joe McCarthy was a Democrat, became a Republican, lied a lot, both parties. But he was in tax trouble and other trouble when he decided I need a distracting issue. And that's when he decided to go after communists in the federal government and kind of built a temporary career out of it. So I think we have to realize, don't start with politics. Start with the HCP and follow them. Where did it begin for them? How did they get there? And what's their goal? Are they really on your side, or they really want power? And they'll do whatever it takes to get it.
And just to correct the record there, because someone else is screaming, Guyana, which it sounds very much like Ghana. So Ghana is an African country. Guyana is a South American country, which is just beside Venezuela, which is interesting because in Venezuela you have another, I would say, HCP that's far left.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's another good example. So I hope people are starting to get a feeling of balance here. But I really want people to see, don't start with the politics. Start with the HCP and look at where they came from. And look at how similar they are. If you look at Maduro in Venezuela and Bolsonaro in Brazil and look at their speeches, they're like twins. But Bolsonaro's on the right and Maduro's on the left. And they all want to be kings. That's why Maduro's in all this trouble. He got rid of his legislature and put in his own legislature. He changed the constitution. All this stuff. They want to be kings. They don't care about the people. They don't care about the politics. They want to be kings. And that's what we have to realize.
Red, so go ahead. Yeah, I was going to turn it over to you for a second. I've been dominating.
You've more or less won me over. Okay. So let's, I'm going to put that on the table. You've won me over. the thing I am not won over on is that all the politicians that are currently running are not all sociopaths or narcissists. Because this is my fundamental belief is that you basically don't get into that position unless you are at least a narcissist. And you do not get elected unless you're close to or almost a sociopath.
Well, it's a study on this would be really great. I think the thing with narcissists is where you draw the line. To me, narcissist means something's wrong. There's something dysfunctional. The person's not changing, not really open. It's a question of degree. So there's people who are narcissists without personality disorders. But I don't see that narcissistic traits help people. I think assertive traits help people. I think confidence helps people. And so majority of politicians, I truly believe, Republicans, Democrats, and liberals, conservatives around the world, really enjoy the political process and aren't driven to be kings, to be the top of the process. They like the give and take. They want to be part of this. And so I don't see that everybody running is an HCP. I reserve judgment on whether there may be some the more we get to know them. And one of the things I wrote in my book is I put a blank line with a question mark for the next HCP in the United States. I don't know who it'll be, and I don't know if it'll be on the left or on the right, but I can tell you a lot about them. They're going to be preoccupied with blaming other people. They're going to have all or nothing solutions. They're going to often have unmanaged emotions that take them way off track. And they're going to have extreme behaviors and threats that are going to constantly keep people on edge.
So if our current set of politicians didn't all have teams managing them, my guess is that it would be very evident very quickly that a lot of the people I would say that both of the people that ran in the last election campaign are probably at least sociopaths, certainly narcissists, and likely, I don't know about the high conflict part. I don't know if you would count the Hillary campaign as part of the high conflict. But
well, let me mention something with that. In the back of the book, I have a high conflict politician scorecard. And so there's 8 categories in here to kind of judge. And this is for people to do for themselves. And by the way, I'm happy to have Republicans as well as Democrats, conservatives as well as liberals use the principles in here, because I think that they, you know, I think we need a balance. And I agree with what you said earlier about trying to have more of a middle ground here. I think we need a balance of left and right. I think that that's how our bodies are built. You know, if you just had one side, you'd fall over. In a boat, all left or all right's going to tip over. I believe in managing polarities rather than eliminating one side. And we're going to see the results of that in every country where they go to one side. You're going to see the problems they have. But anyway, so I've got a list here, and I've got a score of 0 to 8. It's not scientific, but, you know, you can do any election and see where you think people fit. And just because someone isn't high conflict doesn't mean that's who you should elect. But you need to have your eyes open. If you have a favorite and they have a high conflict personality, they're probably going to mess things up, even if you thought they were on your side. And it's better to have somebody reasonable who may not sound as strong on policy in one way or another, who can be stable. I mean, corporations that have had CEOs with high conflict personalities are less stable, less financially beneficial in the long run. Like you have Enron, and you've got, well, Theranos. We could talk about her.
Oh, yeah.
We should talk about her.
Anyway, but so I think it's important that people have eyes open rather than swinging all one extreme or the other. What I'm really talking about is balance and moderation. Yeah, that's who we need. A lot of balanced, moderate people, and we can have some stability and people can actually get things done.
Why did we let this guy on the podcast? What happened here?
Yeah, you're ruining our all one side perspective. No, No, I really think that's some good advice, and I can tell you I've enjoyed reading what I've read of the book so far, and I would definitely encourage our audience to go out and buy the book. Have a look at it, and the scorecard. One thing I think I'm going to do when I watch the debates, which when I'm watching the Democratic debates, I guess it's going to be like 14 debates to get all those people in. But I think I'm going to take this scorecard and kind of go through the list and keep like a tally. And I'll post that up on somewhere you can access it through the podcast too. So I think that's if that's okay with you, Bill. Are you okay with
that
me
is.
Posting those
that's, the tally? That's totally fine.
My tally. Yep. Okay, great. Yep. And I think that'll be something that's kind of fun to do, and I think is a good way to. I like that there's some sort of measure out there.
Yeah, and it's not an all or nothing. So somebody might get a 5 and somebody gets a 50. That helps put things in perspective. One gets a 0.
Yeah, I was going to say, would you say it's rare to have a 0? Is that something that really you wouldn't find? I mean, somebody's going to have at least one of these things, right?
I would think, well, it's on a scale of 0 to 8. So I would think that politicians are going to show up with something. Whether it's 1s and 2s rather than 7s and 8s is the question.
Gotcha. All right. Well, Bill, we really appreciate your time here this evening definitely have enjoyed this conversation. And I hope the audience out there tweet at us. Let us know what you think. Bill, do you want to go ahead and one more time just kind of plug all of your pluggables, let everybody know where you can be found. And if anybody wants to reach out to you and ask more questions, where can they get a hold of you and where can they find your stuff?
Yeah. So look for me at highconflictinstitute.com. That's www.highconflictinstitute.com. You can also just Google Bill Eddy and you'll find me. And there's a lot of books there. So this is my 14th book on HCPs, the first one that goes beyond the interpersonal area. But why we elect narcissists and sociopaths and how we can stop. And I want to emphasize and how we can stop, because I want people to learn and how they can think about HCPs rather than just being emotionally triggered by them. There's also, we have webinars, we have articles, we have consultation, et cetera. It's really, I'm very pleased with our website. It's just been updated and it's pretty easy to get around. And we've just got a ton of information for about HCPs, because they're showing up everywhere. In workplace, in families, in communities, not just politics.
Yeah, and I'm almost certain the last HOA I lived in, the president was one.
Could be. Yep.
Yeah, I'm convinced. But Bill, we really appreciate having you being on. And all of those links that Bill just gave and that information, I'll make sure and put that in the show notes out there as well. So if you want an easy way to go access that, just look in the show notes and it'll be there. Bill, we appreciate you and hope to have you on again sometime in the future.
Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it myself as well.
Well, that was our interview with Bill Eddy. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed recording it. And please remember, check out those links that we're putting in the show notes. Go out there, support this guy, because I feel like we need more people sending this message of, how about we elect rational people and just stop being at war with each other all the time?
That's right. And so next time you vote for the director of the CIA and the director of the NSA and the director of the FBI, just make sure you vote out these high conflict personality types. We can do that, right?
We can't vote for those positions, but I think it's very important. Those are the positions that you should remember when you're voting for your president. Those are the positions you're voting for. And just remember, pretty much the qualifying material for being an employee of the CIA, I think, is being an HCP, or at least operating as one while you're at work. So try and keep that in mind.
Can we just make him go work for the CIA just root these people out?
Honestly, if I could appoint Bill Eddy, the director of the CIA, I don't think it's a job he would want, but I would definitely be down for it.
just go fire all the psychos that are causing endless wars.
Yes, please. All right. Well, remember, guys, you can tweet at us at Daily Circus Pod. You can find us on Patreon at Daily Circus Pod as well, where you can support us and get extras. You can also tweet me at Real Zed. That's R-E-E-L-Z-E-D. And Red, when you're not busy trying to be a narcissist and conquer the entire planet, where can they find you?
You know, everybody wants to rule the world. Isn't that, I mean, even REM knows that. So, Red TDC.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I just realized, Red, how did we make a Marvel reference and not bring Thanos up?
Oh,
like the ultimate HCP,
Thanos.
Right?
Can we
Thanos.
Go back and edit the episode and just say the word Thanos? Just have it, just stick it in there, Thanos.
There you go. So there's your other, we'll go ahead and diagnose Thanos with like sociopathic narcissism and all kinds of other fake things we're making up on the spot.
He's pretty high conflict, I'd say.
Oh, definitely. He wants to kill half of everyone. I'd say that's about as high conflict as you can get. All right. Well, thanks, guys. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time on The Daily Circus.
Looking for a great new podcast where both of the hosts also think Jeff Sessions' stance on marijuana is ridiculous?
Oh no, the gun went off. Somehow that's related to marijuana.
Well, you know, I heard that marijuana can pull triggers.
Well, it is the gateway gun.
A podcast that takes political issues seriously, but also isn't afraid to have some fun.
All right, let's start with PETA and how they took over the movie.
Chewy cooks a pork!
The Daily Circus Podcast brings you interviews on events you won't believe are happening in 2018 America.
I was getting ready to play some video games with some friends, actually, when I get a call from my mom saying that there are 6 police cars in her yard wanting to talk to me.
So, 6 police cars.
While you're playing video games.
The Daily Circus isn't afraid to get into the real issues on gun control.
I want the government to be afraid to start a civil war. I think everyone should want the government to be afraid to start a civil war. I mean, we would all like individuals also not to want to start a civil war.
And of course, the Daily Circus covers the latest on Donald Trump.
Because his ego is bruised, because if there was Russian interference in the election, even if he had no part in it, then that somehow to him means that he's got to be sad now and go.
The Daily Circus Podcast. Click one of the links below to subscribe and get informed.